Tracy and Emily are smart, lovable sisters who really love Lucifer for the plot. Yeah, the plot, which they overthink.
Hi, I'm here with my sister, Emily Guy-Burkin. She does not use a hyphen.
And I'm here, actually here, with my sister, Tracy Guy-Decker, and she does use a hyphen.
That's true. And together, we are Lightbringers, where we illuminate the deeper meaning of the crime-solving devil TV show. And yes, we're overthinking it.
So much overthinking.
Yeah. And today we're talking about episodes 505 and 506, Detective Amenadiel and Blue Balls with a Z.
But just one Z, despite how Tracy just pronounced it.
That's how Ella says it.
Yes.
To let Lucifer know that
she's not referring to.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have children in the other room. You've got to be careful.
So this is actually the first time we've ever watched together, which is kind of cool.
It was so fun.
Yeah. So, okay. So we'll start at the beginning with Detective Amenadiel, which you were saying is one of, except for the final scene. No, that's Blue Balls.
Oh, it's Blue Balls.
So Detective Amenadiel is the one that takes place mostly in a convent. The case of the week, the body was that of a nun to be.
Yes. A novitiate, I think is the word. Novitiate? A novice. Yeah. Kind of Latin-y.
She was about to take orders. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about this one, because I think it actually, like, this case of the week actually gives us a number of kind of like cosmological things that are sort of interesting.
Yeah.
So
I have to say, I really appreciate Chloe is saying to, I believe it's Amenadiel, but it might be to Lucifer, where she's like, I just want to work. I don't want to deal with anything
celestial.
And she shows up and it's a convent. Mm-hmm, and she's like, hilarious.
Yeah. You know, I don't know who the director was. I remember noticing it, and then I've totally forgotten it since we watched, but there were some interesting directorial choices, like when she enters the convent, then the camera like turns upside down, so she's walking in like on the top of the frame, which, like, I don't know, I guess Stranger Things has me thinking about like the upside down and whatever.
Well, it got me thinking about the fact that, like, Satanists, like the ones we saw in the first season, turn the cross upside down. And even though that's not really supported by any aspect of, like, within this world of Lucifer, nor is it, it's not meaningful in any way as its own, like, kind of theology. It's a reaction to Christianity.
Right.
Which is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. And maybe specifically for Chloe at this moment.
Yeah.
There's also, this director had a lot of, like, reflections, too. I feel like we looked at a lot of, like, of them on the piano at the end. We sort of see them double.
Yep, that's true.
And then also at the very end, like, it goes up to the ceiling. Like, he has that, like, light fixture that's like a tree.
Yeah.
And then it's like the reflection of that.
Yeah.
Which is actually now right side up.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time with that light fixture, actually.
Yeah. It was important in that final scene of season four.
And now that I'm saying it out loud, actually reflecting is significant for this episode, right? Because that is the epiphany that Amenadiel has, is that he is reflecting back at people their love of God, which is why the nuns feel so drawn to him, because they have such strong faith. Mm-hmm. And likewise,
why Destiny Page is not drawn to him, because her religious
fervor is
fake.
Yeah. And also it explains Lucifer's appeal, because he reflects people's desire back at them. So I guess initially I was like, oh, he just likes playing with reflections. But now that I'm talking out loud, it actually does have some metaphorical
story. Yeah. It's a nice through line.
Yeah. So that's kind of interesting.
I will say, I felt like, and this is one of those things where sometimes you'll do something that works for the story but doesn't work for the character, or works for the character but doesn't work for the story.
Sure.
In this case, the way that Chloe was kind of rude to the nuns worked for the story, mm-hmm. but did not work for her character.
Yeah.
Like, she's always professional.
Yeah.
And part of it is, it's because it's usually Lucifer is the one who's being completely unprofessional and making it about him.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to do that for the story. But it just felt odd.
You know, on that same sort of vein, at the end, when Benedict reveals, I'm putting air quotes around that, mm-hmm. reveals himself, or exposes himself, that's the word.
Expose myself to nuns.
When he exposes himself to Hank and like uses the wings as a weapon, and then Hank is like, get him away from me. Like, I don't know. I'm not sure that would in fact be, I mean, like in season, and I know we've talked about this before, but in season one, like the lifelong atheist saw the wings and then felt he couldn't live without them. And they were detached from the angel. So like actually on the angel, even a jackass, mm-hmm. I think would be like on their knees crying, like, forgive me. Mm-hmm. Right. I don't know. That felt a little, I mean, it was more satisfying to have him just
be terrified.
He was terrified, but also repulsed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just not sure repulsion is an accurate.
Well, I'm wondering if there's, you know, to overthink it.
Right.
Because that's how we do.
That's what we do. Uh-huh.
I'm wondering if there is something to, it depends on who the person is. So that lifelong atheist who was like, Carmen was the character's name. I don't know why I remember that. But I love that actor, that character actor. But perhaps there was something within him because he did trade in religious.
Yeah. So maybe he was actually looking for the real thing in the way that like Houdini was constantly.
Yes.
Revealing frauds because he really, really wanted it really to be true. Really
believe it.
Yeah.
And then this guy was not at all religious. And to the point where he was horrified that his fiance would choose the life of a nun over their life together.
Mm-hmm.
And like had no concept of what that could mean, where that could come from. So
mm-hmm. yeah,
that asks us as the viewers to do a heck of a lot of heavy lifting, but I could see that as being part of
the cosmology.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. So Amenadiel's epiphany specifically about Chloe, that Chloe is not the gift, but the fact that she can see Lucifer, she does not see her own desire reflected back, mm-hmm. is the gift. It's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I love it that it comes from Amenadiel. I don't know why that I find that exceedingly satisfying, mm-hmm. that's Amenadiel's role to like help comfort her mm-hmm. somehow. Yeah.
Well, and also his ability to see, like, all the noise fade away and just see the reality, the beauty of the gift
mm-hmm.
in a way that, I mean, in some ways it's, I feel like, reflects the fact that he is God's favored son and had been God's right hand. And he was saying, like, I wish I had been more curious
mm-hmm.
when I fulfilled that purpose. But in some ways he didn't necessarily have to be because he figured it out. Like he was close enough that he could be like, wait a minute, I think I can see how, like what the mysterious ways are. Mm-hmm. Like if you finish that sentence, I think you were in a mysterious way.
That was awesome. That's such a great line. And the fact that Amenadiel, in addition to the gift, also the fact that Lucifer chooses to be evil.
Yes, his understanding of that.
Yeah, like the fact that that Amenadiel gave us that as well. And even like Lucifer's like, mm-hmm. like that moment was just so lovely.
Mm-hmm. It's also, I like that also feels like how realizations can go, where like you've got something that is just a fundamental part belief of who you are, and then like the moment you get it challenged, like, yeah, I can let go of that.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to talk about, okay, you and I both were very dissatisfied with the fact that Amenadiel was like, yeah, I heard dad's voice saying,
oh yeah,
hell doesn't need a caretaker anymore. And when this season originally came out, I remember you and I talking about, this is also the episode in which Lilith dies. And so...
Or she dies the next one, right?
No,
it's this one.
It's this one. And so we're like, oh, this would be really excellent, like, storytelling if the reason why Hell no longer needs a caretaker is because all the demons, the mother of all the demons, is now there. And they'll heed her. And that's not what they did. And I understand, because there were other things that went along with that in like season six. Like, we'll get to where Lucifer's offering to Maze to be the queen of hell and things like that, that would not necessarily have been in place if Lilith were there. And then there's also the fact that Maze feels like, okay, well, Lilith is gone, I can never speak to her again. Which is very odd.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get that. Yeah. Like, an immortal demon, like, the death of a mortal is just, it's not the end. And we know that. And now you suggest that maybe Lilith doesn't have a soul since Maze doesn't, but she was created at the same time as Adam. So if Adam has a soul, then why wouldn't Lilith?
Yeah.
Unless God took it back, yeah.
Or unless Lilith is in heaven. But that seems
kind of unlikely.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like Maze would think she'd be in hell.
Yeah. Yeah. So the only thing I was thinking is that if maybe her death is kind of like how Uriel's death was.
Except Uriel actually, but Uriel was killed by the sword, flaming sword, Azrael's sword that
just
winks you out of existence.
Yeah. But, you know, maybe something to do with
mortality. And maybe Lilith is in heaven, not because of her good behavior, but because she was crafted by God's hand.
Mm.
It's like Adam doesn't
deserve
long.
Yeah, based on what we know in the future about Adam.
Yeah. And Eve doesn't either, based on what we already know.
That's
she
true.
Didn't belong there.
Yeah.
But she was crafted by God's hand, so.
Yeah.
So maybe Lilith is in heaven.
And that's got to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's like that one person at Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I can save this for fluff, actually.
Okay, all right, save the fluff. I do want to talk about the B story of Linda and Adriana, her daughter, who she gave up.
Is that in the second?
It's in this one.
Wow, they shoved a lot into this episode.
They really did. And this is also when it's no longer on Fox, so they don't have to like keep it to a tight 43 or 44 minutes. So mm-hmm. I think this one was like 55 minutes long. But I really appreciate the minute that Maze understands what's going on, she goes out and finds her. Like, because...
Though we don't know that that's what's happening.
We think
she's just pissed off and,
yeah.
and can't so, be in the same room with Linda anymore.
Yeah, and so when Linda's telling her, like, I think about her every day, I hope she's okay,
and Maze says she sees things coming. Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, Maze is an amazing bounty hunter, so... Yeah. And like, it's amazing because I'm thinking like all she knows is Linda's name. So Linda Martin was 17.
Uh-huh.
And presumably Linda's always lived in Los Angeles. So she probably knows more about Linda's like life history than we do, but still like that's impressive because it's not a lot of information to be able to track a baby down who is now like in early 20s, I think. I have to say, I'm very, like, I really feel Linda's story. Like, the idea of having a baby at 17 and just feeling like couldn't handle it and just running away and regretting it forever and constantly thinking that that's you're on your way to hell because of it.
Yeah.
And then also, I appreciated that Maze was like, you need to tell her. And then, but Linda had a very good point in that, like, it needs to be her decision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Maze found a way for her to be like, you can open the door so that she can come to it.
Yeah, that was lovely.
That was really, really nice. Especially since Maze was in the other position.
Right.
You know? So, like, I feel this way sometimes with my kids in that I'm the youngest of the two of us.
I know.
I have two kids. Oh, is this news to you? Letting them know. So, as you are well aware, because you were there, you had no interest in me. Daddy was nurse.
That's right.
I was dressed in scrums or something. Anyway, and I am not a big believer in, like, your birth order determines your fate, but I definitely did feel there are things about my personality that I think are related to the fact that I am both your younger sister and wired to be kind of a hero worshiper. So, like, if I were a different person as your younger sister, I think things would be a little different. Then I have two kids, and my eldest, you know that too. My eldest, I call my mini-me because he takes after me in so many ways, except that he's my eldest. And then my youngest takes after my husband so much, except that he's the youngest. My husband's the eldest too. So there are times where I can see where my eldest is coming from because he's so similar to me. And then at the same time, I feel what my youngest is feeling. And so I kind of saw a reflection of that in Maze and Linda's discourse, because Maze knew what it felt like to be the daughter who was abandoned. And Linda, who is so empathetic and loves Maze so much, was the one who didn't know how to relate to that, even though, because she was the mother. So anyway, I just found that very interesting. And I love their relationship.
Maze and Linda, yeah.
They're awesome and amazing. Girlfriend goals.
Yeah, for reals.
I'm just imagining, like, you know, if I told Erica something and she came back 3 hours later, like, I found your person. Bounty hunted. That, actually, I would watch that movie. So my friend Erica is a priest, and so, like, if she were a bounty hunter priest, that would be awesome.
New book idea.
That would be a great book.
All right. Let's talk about Blue Balls.
Let's talk about Blue Balls. I hate that episode. Except for the last, like, 5 minutes. Last 5 minutes, I have, like, you can't wear out the tape on Netflix, but I have...
Worn out the tape?
Worn out the tape. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty sexy.
Oh, my God.
All right. So, in this episode... DJ dies from electrocution, and the actual target was Chloe's ex.
Whose name I've forgotten already.
Jed?
No. He's DJ Jet? Carnal. No, Jed.
Jed,
that's it.
Yeah.
So, this is basically fluff, but okay. I can see that he is handsome. Like, I can see that. But his tiny little button nose is just so small. And it's just like, ew, no. Like, I kind of am reminded. So another friend of mine, this is years ago. Do you remember that TV show, Joe Millionaire, from like the early 2000s? It was a terrible reality TV show. Anyway, the guy on it, whose name I don't remember, was very much my type. And I remember, and so I watched this horrible television show because the guy was very much my type, even though, like, he was not a good person. And the show was awful. But I watched the whole thing, getting in. I remember talking to my friend Megan about it. And she said, like, when I was like, oh my God, he's so handsome. She was like, everything's in the right place. And that's what I feel about Jed. My apologies to the actor. I'm sure he's a lovely person. And I'm sure it doesn't matter to you that I don't find you attractive, but oh my God, what's wrong with your nose? It's so small. How do you breathe through it? There's not enough.
So This episode is another one of those, like, you know, like Lucifer has ADHD and he's titled, he gets hyper-focused. Mm-hmm. And so this one is he's hyper-focused on Jed and like what went wrong with Jed and Chloe. And he's going to avoid that same mistake. And it just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't believe it. Mm-hmm. I don't believe it.
I will say, watching it this time around, it felt like it worked better this watching it this time around, just because his feelings were so hurt.
When she said that
she's not seeing anyone.
Yeah.
And so he immediately goes into like, okay, what's going wrong? What's wrong?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then latching onto, because he is wearing his heart on his sleeve, latching onto, oh, okay, so I'm not being mysterious enough.
Right. Right. Because that was like, because they had just gotten together. And then he's like puffed up for what Chloe's going to answer. Yeah.
But it is still also like,
I felt a little manipulated in the way that Lucifer feels manipulated at the end. Cause I feel like the writers were like, okay, so we have to have Michael get Lucifer's phone. How are we going to do that?
Oh,
let's have him throw it out the window.
Yeah.
Why is he throwing it out the window? You know, like, mm-hmm. It just felt like they were working backward from needing Michael to have Lucifer's phone so that, Dan would see Lucifer's devil's face. And, I don't know. I didn't quite believe it. I mean, for one thing, I don't know. I've never been to LA, but I can't imagine having a window without a screen. Like, aren't there bugs in LA?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of hand waving about LA that I need to just accept. Like, you know, would have been there 20 minutes earlier if you hadn't stopped for a wardrobe change. That was like a couple seasons ago. It's like, I'm sorry. What I know about LA traffic, that might be possible at 2 a.m.
20 minutes, though. I mean, like, it probably, how long does it take him to actually change? It's just like an hour. Anyway.
Let alone the traffic. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So that piece was like, although on the other hand, like they set us up that Charlie likes funny faces because
that was his first laugh when Trixie made funny faces.
Exactly. Exactly. So good on you for that.
Yeah. Oh, should this be fluff or should we talk about the wardrobe changes that bothered you?
Oh, we can talk about the wardrobe changes. Yeah.
So, cause that was, it was interesting.
Right. So they were wearing the same clothes. Like they get to the murder scene of the rave on the beach and they're wearing one set of clothes.
And he's in overnight.
Yeah. She says it could be all night. Mm-hmm. And then the sun is up. Mm-hmm. He's wearing a black suit with a white shirt. Mm-hmm. And she's wearing like a leather jacket, zip up suede jacket.
And I feel like it's something like blue underneath.
And then they're walking together and he's wearing a brown suit.
No, not quite yet. So they get back to the station. The first thing he notices is their hair is different.
Oh yeah, I noticed her hair was different because she had like little bangs. And then she had it pulled
all the way back.
Same clothes though.
Same clothes. And then they are going to DJ Colonel's studio.
Right.
And when they get there, they're both wearing different clothes.
Right.
But her hair is still pulled all the way back. So I have a potential reason for it. So the hair. I wear my hair back all the time and it gets, now I don't intentionally do the bangs because so I could see after all night her feeling gross and then like, just like, okay, just putting her hair back and pulling it all back.
Yeah.
Get it out of her way because she's been up all night. So that's why her hair changed. And then they like changed and showered.
But they still arrived together.
I know.
I mean, she doesn't have clothes at his place yet, or vice versa.
Yeah.
And why'd they put him in a brown suit?
Oh my God. And you're right. And then Ella was wearing the same thing the whole time. So, and why the brown suit? It's so ugly. And then that's the suit he's wearing at the end for the, like, the best 5 minutes of television ever.
Well,
but at least the lighting is such
that he also has the jacket off, so it's really just like the vest, and the shirt, which bothers me less for some reason.
Yeah. Brown's just not his color.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not that he's anything less than handsome, but although when he's you said when you see him as Michael and
with the turtleneck,
you're like,
I question the costumer's choice on the brown suit, but putting him in the turtleneck as Michael,
perfect.
Spot exactly on.
That's
spot on. Yep.
Yeah. So, I also have, I've wondered a little bit. I don't know. There's the, I always hate it in long running TV shows where there is an ex that they introduce that has never been mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they did a reasonably good job with it because they had because of Dan.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan being like, yeah, I got good at this when I had a baby with Chloe. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But I always hate that because it's just like, you introduce this. And then, but I also found myself feeling like, you know, in some ways, I don't know who wrote this episode, but in some ways there is this like, oh yeah, this is my boyfriend from college who never got over me. He's impatient after me. Because, you know, one of the joys of being a writer is you get to do that.
Yeah.
You can, you know, cast an extremely handsome but way too small-nosed a man.
As that boyfriend.
As that boyfriend.
Yeah. I don't know. I actually didn't mind it. I know what you mean. Like when they introduce something and they're like, it's always been that. Like,
yeah.
The fact that the ring that he's always worn is Lilith's ring. I was like, you just made that up. Mm-hmm. Which we're making it all up. But this one, whatever, because of the fact that, well, yes, and like, because of the fact that it was so long ago and like she got married and divorced in between and whatever, like I bought it. And also like, I can't imagine my college boyfriend naming a foundation after me and me not knowing.
Mm, yeah.
I mean, it's not called the Chloe, you know, what it was his nickname for her, but still like I don't stalk him, but you know,
Facebook is a thing.
And like, at least once a decade, I'm like, oh, I wonder what he's up to now, you know? And like Google stalks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, only once a decade. Don't worry.
She's got an alert set up.
Just saying, I would know if you had a foundation named after me, okay?
Certainly have some mutual
acquaintances and friends. Yeah.
I mean, she did go in a completely different direction because they knew each other when she was still acting.
Right.
But, you know, she hasn't lost all touch with everyone from her life, presumably.
I don't know. I mean, a couple seasons ago when Lucifer was like, name three people you could call to go out for a drink with, and you can't name me, your child, or the man you're divorcing. And she, like, couldn't, so.
True. She is a bit of a workaholic. So, which is when you're addicted to workahol. Sorry, I'm very weird. The other thing that I appreciated in this, and we were talking a little bit about this before we started recording, the scene between Dan and Amenadiel, where Dan is like trying to teach Amenadiel how to swaddle using a corkscrew, which I'm like, that doesn't. Okay. Like better practice on the cat.
Because it was like squirmy. Corkscrew and like a cocktail net.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Anyway. So, but it's interesting because of all the things that Dan thinks little of himself, he knows he's a good dad.
Yeah.
And does not question that at all. And I find that kind of like, not refreshing, but that's
endearing.
It's endearing. It's also, we so often have the opposite in so many depictions of media where like the, like, I am a commanding person who can do anything in the boardroom, but like, oh my God, it's a baby. What do I do?
Mm.
And so like, that's kind of cool that it's like the reversal of the trope. And it also fits kind of with the, because, you know, he's divorced from his wife. So like that, you can feel a little weird about that. it really, really screwed up in its job.
As a cop.
As a cop.
Yeah.
And
then he lost Charlotte.
Yeah, and Charlotte died, which, you know, obviously, like, that grief is something that, you know, he's never really going to get over. So it is completely understandable that he feels fully competent as a dad, mm-hmm. in a way that he doesn't feel in other parts of his life. But I also really appreciate that, especially since he's a dad of a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, cause that's another thing. Like, even guys who are like, oh yeah, I know how to father my sons, but like, oh my goodness, what about tea parties? What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that was endearing. And it's also really interesting. Like, we've got this mortal who's letting an angel, God's right hand, know that he'll figure it out with parenting and stuff like that, which makes sense within the, you know, cosmology of the show, because
there's never been an angel baby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's also like just really fascinating that there is something that a human
could teach an angel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also an angel and a demon. A human and a demon. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about Maze and Ella, mm-hmm. in this mm-hmm. episode, where Maze decides to try and emulate
mm-hmm.
Ella. And then that there's like two moments where Ella's like, why would you emulate me? I attract losers. And Maze is like, yeah, if all you think you deserve is a loser like that, then I should look to somebody else. And then Ella's saying, you know, just be you and you'll find your soulmate. And Maze says, you have to have a soul to have a soulmate. Like, both of those moments were like, ouch.
Yeah.
For each of them, mm-hmm. in very different ways. But both from Maze's mouth, actually. Like, the things that Maze was saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting, because she's not been given a whole lot of depth, mm-hmm. I feel like. So, some.
Maze or Ella.
Maze. But yeah. not a ton.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, fits with, like, she was created to be part of an army, you know, and it's interesting, like, I'm not a big fan of the, like, Ella likes bad boys things.
Yeah.
They introduced it late, it feels like, and
I mean, they have been setting it up,
because
mm-hmm. she, like, remember the text mm-hmm. of the tattooed penis?
Oh, yeah.
Ella's like, oh, you know Craig, too? No, I don't know Craig and his tattooed penis.
Yeah. Well, and there's that bald guy that she hooked up with at the beginning of the season.
He was the suspect in
Mr.
Settle Bitch's death. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was this season, though.
Yeah, but that's this season.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of it is like, what part of my issue with it is the fact that, like, I don't think Ella would believe anyone is, like, bad boy, if you know what I mean. Because she's just so bright and positive and optimistic that, you know, if she sees someone who's, like, a bad boy, she'd be like, what happened? You know, like, you know, what trauma is led you down this path?
Well, maybe maybe that's what makes them attractive.
Yeah.
Is that she thinks that, I mean, subconsciously,
yeah.
that she can.
I mean, I say this as the person who grew up with Bender from Breakfast Club, Beast from Beauty and the Beast, and Mr. Rochester from Jane Eyre. And like, that is the height of romance.
Mm-hmm. So maybe there's some of that.
Yeah.
But sexual.
Yeah. It feels
a little off for the character.
Yeah. And I guess maybe it's just because they do the shortcut of like, oh, bad boy alert. And I'm like, is that how
she would have said it?
Said it? And like,
yeah, I think that's actually what you have a problem with.
Yeah.
Not the actual like attraction. Because if she had said something like, oh, I bet I could help him.
Mm-hmm. That would make sense to me. Yeah. I also wouldn't think she'd be like, yeah, I've been making out with this loser. Like, I couldn't see her.
Got it.
Saying that. Like, you know, I've been helping this guy with my tongue. We both had the same reaction when we saw Pete.
Yeah.
Which, because when I first saw this one, I didn't know what was coming. I was like, he is a cutie. Yeah. Oh my goodness, I love the girls.
Mm-hmm. And the awkward.
Yeah, awkward charm.
Yeah, but on rewatch, it's like, oh, yeah. you. Mm.
Stay away, Ella, stay away. But I also feel like if it is like what trauma is there, like her attraction to him and to Carol later on is about them having some brokenness, you know, because and part of what was tough for her with Pete is he's hiding it really well.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, we've been talking for almost 40 minutes, so perhaps we should transition to fluff.
I love fluff.
There's something that I had from earlier when we were talking. I said I would save it for fluff. Mm.
Well, I will say, during Detective Amenadiel in that last scene when they kiss at the piano, you said to me, his nose is so long it hits her face before his lips, too. I'm like, and that's what I'm talking about.
It does. Like, he, like, noses her before his lips.
I think that would make better for aiming, you know, if you had your eyes closed.
I guess.
Like, what would you, you'd just be like, Agent Clark, well, you can't feel anything. So weird. You're just being like, he's lipless too.
I really wish I could remember what it was that I wanted to share with you.
Oh, there's also the scene where Chloe is like starting to freak out, like, oh gosh, what if I don't measure up?
Yeah.
And Linda's like, well, it's perfect. It's not like forked or anything.
And then Chloe's like, oh, it's not. Okay.
She was like, worried about, oh my God, what? I loved the moment where Dan comes to help Amenadiel, and Dan's like, what happened? Like, Linda just handed me the baby and ran out. What did you say to her? The same thing you did, that it was okay that she was completely screwing up.
Oh, now I hear it. I hear it now. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I am impressed that she was like, okay, have the baby. I'm going to go glitter myself up and go to a rave. Because I would be like, have the baby. I'm checking into a place with really nice sheets and I'm going to sleep for a week.
And you're paying for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I would have done. But
what were we talking about when I said I would save it?
Was it Cherry Jean?
No.
I think it's the fluffiest fluff of all fluff that has ever fluffed. Can we talk about the last 5 minutes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's like some gifs online. Just goes, and her knee kind of like flops over.
Oh, yeah.
It's really hot.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, there's the like, she's going to leave. And like, they don't say anything and they just like. Well,
yeah, they both turn around to look at one another.
Yeah. It's just like, yeah, you're not leaving.
That's really hot.
Oh my God. Well, and when he offers his hand, yeah. And like this, yeah. And she takes it. I'm a word person. I am incapable of wording right now. Because it is.
That's not a verb.
Anything can be a verb in English. Just like anything can be an adjective in French. Or no, anything can be a noun. Any adjective can be a noun in French. So, see, I word. I word well in more than one language.
I really wish I could.
Really, I'm sad that you can't remember.
I can't remember. I'm going to cut out all this.
Are you sure you're going to cut out all this? My wording is very good. Tracy can't remember her fluff.
I can't remember.
I'm telling her that she should, at the, like, when she remembers it, record it just herself. So if you see that bonus content after this, that's what happened. Because we need to know what the fluff was.
I know.
I mean, what the fluff? We need the fluff.
I don't know.
I bet it was the fluffiest fluff that ever fluffed.
It was Fluffy McFlufferson.
It was Fluffy McGee. Fluffington McFluffers.
It's hard getting old.
It is.
It's better than the alternative.
Oh, yes. I definitely agree with that. But yeah, getting old. It's weird.
Yeah. All right. Well, I won't say yes to you next week, but I'll see you next time.
I'll see you next time.
Okay.
We probably won't be next to each other next time.
No. Well, our boxes.
Yes, our boxes will be. See you next time.
See you next time. All right, y'all. It's been over a week, but I finally remembered my fluff. When Amenadiel tells Lucifer that he heard a voice in hell that he never expected to hear in hell, and Lucifer's trying to guess who the voice is, one of the names he offers is Mr. Rogers. And I just don't believe it. I do not believe it. Even though I know it's your own feelings of guilt that would send you there. And of course, Mr. Rogers, like all of us, I'm sure he was subject to some feelings of inadequacy. And also, in my mind, the man was a saint. So that was it. That was my fluff. See you next time.
Our theme song is Feral Angel Waltz by Kevin MacLeod from Incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 4.0 license. Visit the show notes for the URL. I am an artificially generated voice, powered by Narrakeep.com. Lucifer is a Warner Brothers production that first aired on Fox and then Netflix. Tracy and Emily are not affiliated with Fox, Netflix, nor WB. If you liked this episode, subscribe to keep overthinking with them, and visit the show notes for other ways to connect.